who is a professor at the Southern College of Optometry in the pediatric service, and also a private practice emphasizing the vision care needs of the infant and child. A past president of both the College of Optometrists in Vision Development and the Optometric Extension Program Foundation, he's currently chair of the Infancy Committee. He has lectured extensively throughout the United States and internationally in the area of infant vision development and care.
Thanks, Jeff. One of the things you get whenever you're an old guy is that our current president is one of my students. Our current vice president of clinical affairs was one of my students. So some of you educators will be able to look forward to that a little bit in the future. But I'm going to take us back to vision development. I think there's a growing need. There always has been a need, but there's a significantly growing need in the whole aspect of vision development. How many of you have kids and you played the airplane game with them whenever you were feeding? I didn't see too many. Well, here's some hands that go. You know, they don't do that anymore. The whole thing now is just stuff it in the mouth as quickly as they can. And so some of those early steps in learning vision development or learning about vision is very significant. By the way, I have no relationships to disclose. But, you know, the statement is made that the world is a buzzing, blooming confusion, but is it really? Is it really? My granddaughter could pick out the speaker on the wall up there at a very, very, very young age, and whenever before the time they say you should be able to look. I don't think it just happens. I think there is a process that they all go through. And right at birth, babies begin imposing an order on organizing the environment, using whatever tools are available. And then there are differences in development which likely lie in the level of sophistication developed in the use of those tools. In other words, if they don't get the playing the airplane game while you're feeding, if they don't get those kinds of things from very early on, then they don't have them later in life. So these are some representations, and all of you are related to eye care in some way, so you know this is not, quote, the way kids see. But they're representations of how kids, babies develop the ability to look. And over the 12-month period of time, they go from everything having an equal stimulus to the sorting out here of the pictures, the scene as they get to around 12 months of age. So if those kinds of things happen, it doesn't just happen. Our generation of parents is now assuming that those things happen. They just happen automatically, and you don't have to do anything. It's my contention that we do have to do something about that, and that's why this call to action. What do they have to do? They have to move. They have to reach. They have to act. They have to engage themselves in that process. What does the generation of parents this day and time do? They give them everything. They do everything for them to, quote, give them a better advantage. Kids have to learn to do by themselves. They learn by making mistakes. When does that start? Day one. Not at 5 years of age. Not at 3 years of age. Day one. They do it by acting and then expanding. A typical rule of thumb is somebody has to do something 1,000 times before it becomes automatically part of their process. So if you have to do it 1,000 times, obviously that means doing it over and over and over and over. So all of the things I'm going to be presenting today come from outside of eye care, but I want to link eye care to that and how it there. Picture's worth 1,000 words. This is a part that's missing in the development of children today. Looking babies in the eye, taking care of them, much more so, it's missing much more so than we ever thought. This is the number one culprit, one of the number one culprits today. the, I call it the container or the box. Because what happens? Parents put the baby in the box, take him to eat with friends, take him back out, put him in the car, go shopping, take him back out. They get home, they're asleep, so we let them get their nap out. And they spend a lot of time in the box. If and when they're awake, that develops a very passive process in the development of vision. And there's no movement, there's no reaching. They just look and observe and become very passive observers throughout. So it's important that we begin to get them outside. Why is that important? Well, many of you remember some of the experiences from way, way back, the Newborn Weasel and Heldon Hine. But cat number one is moving along in the little experimental area there. Cat number two is in a box. So they get to passively see everything that's going on, but they don't get the movement aspect of it. And when the experiment was over and they took the kittens out of that particular environment, then the cat who was moving could go right on about their business when it came to a vertical cliff kind of thing. And the cat who was in the box didn't know and couldn't move as well. Again, put the baby back in the box and we limit the overall development, or at best impede it to a certain level. So what is going on today? Technology. What are parents doing when they're feeding? We don't have any eye contact going on there. We don't have the kinds of things that are necessary to develop the vision to the level that kids need. The kid's not down. The kid's not developing the eye contact. That's very, very important. This one is almost begging a parent to pick them up while they're on their computer. You can see that on the face. So we have a responsibility to alert parents of the need to do these kinds of things, because it's, you know, Kathleen mentioned quite a number of things that were observed, but yet it seems vision is removed from those kinds of things. But vision is a very integral part of all of those. And why do parents use things to try to speed up the process? You know, we think, oh, the process, we need to make that faster and faster for the kids. Like this, the walking wings, you know, things to help the baby walk faster. Well, you skip stages and you go through stages that they need to be down on the floor in tummy time. Tummy time is not just development of neck muscles. Tummy time is so, so important, because that's when vision begins to develop in that process of looking out. And if we don't get that process of overall development of them going through the natural stages, which our generation of parents now seems to want to skip, then we the kids are not going to be at the level that we want them to be. So how do parents know whether or not development is taking place? Typically they don't. It's not that they don't care. It's not that pediatricians don't care. It's not that other people, caregivers, don't care. It's they don't know. And it's our job to inform them. And this really magnifies the need for early intervention. There's a group that will be presenting a poster with in San Antonio in December. It's called 0 to 3. And they have an incredible developmental assessment called Touch Points that was developed by Barry Brazelton, the pediatrician, syndicated pediatrician. It's pretty complicated and it's not done often enough, but they look at all of these significant parts of vision development. And I'll just use an example. This comes from CDC. At 12 months of age, and actually comes from a book, Caring for Your Infant and Young Child, by Stephen Sheloff. And at 12 months of age, these are how the social and emotional milestones are determined. I want you to look at those and give me an idea of how many of those involve the process of vision. This is the interactive part. Sandy says all of them, and I agree. All of them involve the process of vision. Not cause and effect, but an integral part of that process of development. So if we're going to judge, we being outside of eye care, are going to judge whether or not a child is socially and emotionally on target in their developmental milestones by using this criteria, then vision needs to be at the level. And when I'm talking about vision, I'm not talking about at that age, obviously, visual acuity. I'm talking about looking behaviors, developing the looking patterns necessary to do the things here. All the aspects of vision are critical there. Cognitive milestones from the same book, also promoted by CDC. The cognitive milestones, and I'm not just picking a few of them. These are the five areas that they use to determine cognitive milestones for a baby at 12 months of age. And in my estimation, all of them are significantly involve the use of the visual process. And so looking behaviors become very, very important. That gets on up into school age. And this is a patient I had I'm just having to do copy forms. Just copy these particular forms, the seven forms, circle, cross, square, triangle, divided rectangle, horizontal, vertical, diamond. And for those of you who might wonder where those came from, I did my fellowship at the Gazelle Institute of Child Development some 42 years ago or something like that. And those are some of the things we use. But when we asked the 7-year-old to copy these, this is what came out. Circle, cross, square, triangle, divided rectangle, horizontal, vertical, diamond. Just looking and copying. But when we gave them a tactile form and held it under the table, and they just felt the groove in each one of these pieces of board, circle, triangle, square, rectangle, this is the outcome. So an ability to reproduce through feeling at 7 months of age for this particular child is so much different than the ability to just look and copy. And so if they can determine that it's a circle and a square by feeling it, yet they can't do it by looking at it and reproducing it, it's not they don't have the ability to reproduce, it's they haven't gone through that experience of linking vision and movement and doing. So it becomes very important. I don't think I can call this up because I think it's on the... No, can't open. Okay. Sadie was 7 years of age, and she was plus seven, a lot like some of the kids that Sandy was talking about. Her writing on a page, her letters, were about 2 inches tall. When she got her glasses, they were a normal size for a 7-year-old. So taking vision down to something just as simple as refractive error is incredibly important in this whole process of development. And then with refractive error and visual acuity being a small part of that and all of these other things that many times we don't even test, it becomes very important. So I think we have an epidemic. In infancy, we are finding 10% of the babies show risk factors, over 100,000 babies now. Seed to Learn in Kansas has been doing their program for 20 years. They see 15% of 3-year-olds. So it's not going down, it's increasing. It's often stated that 20% of the kids, school-age kids, have risk factors. And then you get into the higher-risk areas that Sandy was talking about, it becomes even higher. But our current methodology is not getting better. It's providing worse results, and it's not working. So my call to action is school readiness begins in infancy. And so I think we need to start looking at these whole processes in infancy. And to a larger extent, looking at all the processes of vision, not limiting them. Vision development is a significant part of that school readiness. It's so important that it starts early. And if it starts in infancy, we need to assess in infancy. We need to raise the awareness of all professionals that vision is an essential benefit in the Affordable Care Act. If a parent, what will motivate a parent to take their child in for an eye examination because they have the benefit if they don't perceive that there's a problem. And so many of the kids that we see every day come in and they're there for a routine exam. They don't know that there's a problem. So we have to make the awareness, raise the awareness of the need for early examination. And then early identification always leads to better outcomes. And if we, the earlier we can identify and intervene, then the more effective the child can be in leading to a productive life. Here's my contact information. Realize that I'm not presenting data or things like that, other than a call to action to really begin to be aware of the process of vision starting very, very early.